Thank you, worship team, for leading us. It's good to be back with you after being away for about 2.5 weeks. Deb and I were adrift on the Pacific Ocean pretty well for the last 2.5 weeks, and it felt like we kind of lost at sea. But being back at church here within the church family, it brings us great comfort to know that we belong here. You know, this is our church. This is your church. This is how God has called us together as a family of believers. And I do really hope and pray that every time you step foot into this church, you will feel like this is your church home. That is my prayer. That is our prayer for you. I want to just give this time over to the Lord before we begin. Lord God, we are thankful that you have created the body of Christ, the family of God, the fellowship of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're mindful of each and every person that is in this room here today, and those of us who may be away on holidays and taking advantage of this long weekend going to somewhere else. We're mindful of each and every person who make up this body of Christ. And Lord God, thank you for some of us, the joys that we've experienced this past week. But as well, Lord Jesus, I want to pray for those who may have experienced some sorrow this week, some deep grief, some loss. Lord Jesus, would you be with them as well? And Lord God, at this time, I just want to ask that your Spirit of God would come into our midst, prepare our hearts to listen to the word that you have prepared for us, O Lord Jesus. May our minds, our ears, our hearts be ready and attuned to your Holy Spirit as we invite you, Spirit of the living God, come into this midst, to come into our midst, and to warm our hearts, to remind us of your great love for your people. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as a leader, one of my greatest fears is that if I don't know where I'm going, then no one's going to follow. And we won't know when we've arrived. You know, someone once said, now you can get the PowerPoint working, that would be great. Someone once said this, okay, here we go. Without a clear sense of direction, a leader is like a traveler without a map, a novelist without a plot, a songwriter without a melody, a guide without a compass. Leaders must have clear eyes to see the invisible, and they must have the discipline and tenacity to persist until the dream becomes a reality. I'd like to, at this time, invite those of you who I've asked to come forward to help me, the 15 people I asked to earlier this week, would you please make your way up to the front right now? That'd be great. And so these 15 brothers and sisters who we here have with us represent various congregations. I have those who are dressed in white. They represent our Cantonese congregation. I'll call them Team White, okay? And then we have those who are dressed in black. They represent our English congregation, Team Black. And then the third team, the five in the back, and the one with the really bright red shirt. they represent our Mandarin congregation. Although I know Jim and Steve and Sophia, they go to both congregations, English and Mandarin. But for lack of people I couldn't find in Mandarin, they represent our Mandarin congregation. And I'm going to ask them to do one thing. And some of you may have seen this before. And if you have, could you do me a favor and please keep this to yourself? Because otherwise, it'll be a very short sermon. You'll be over in 2 minutes. What I'm going to ask them to do as a team, as Team White, as Team Black, and as Team Red, as they're standing on this tarp, and as hopefully, sorry, I'm going to switch it over. Can you project the image on the screen as well, please? Okay, so as they're standing on this tarp, what I would like them to do is to, without leaving the tarp, without having their foot touch the carpet. They cannot do that. They need to flip the tarp over and still all be remaining on the tarp. Okay? Do you get that? All right? So without leaving the tarp, they have to flip the tarp over and still remain on the tarp. You're not allowed to use any props, any speakers, or anything else. It's just you and the tarp, okay? And your brains, hopefully, that you brought with you this morning. So we're going to try this for maybe a couple minutes and see how well you guys do. Okay, so without leaving the tarp, you have to flip the tarp over and all remain on the tarp. And you have to work as a team. Team white, team black, and team red. Good? Okay, so why don't we give them a hand and cheer them on. Team white, let's cheer team white on. Let's cheer team black on. And let's cheer team red on. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, the next couple minutes is yours. Again, for those of you who know how this is done, please keep it to yourself. I do promise you that before we all leave today, this will be solved, okay? The puzzle will be resolved before we all leave today. No touching the carpet. Give you another minute, okay, guys? You guys are getting there, slowly but getting there. Cheer them on. Let's cheer them on. Come on. They can do this. Okay, 30 seconds and we'll call it. I still see a lot of blue. And even red team, I still see some blue. Especially in the middle where you guys are standing. You got kind of cover it. You're covering it with your feet, but I can still see it in there. Okay, we'll call it for now. Okay, so thank you for coming up. Just leave the tarps where they are. That'll be great. Actually, you can put it back onto the square, the corners. That'll be great. Where there's no vision, the people perish. How many of you have heard this phrase before? Where there is no vision, the people perish. It comes from Proverbs 29, verse 18, the King James Version. Many leadership books have been written in recent days based on just this one phrase. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But that's only part of the verse. The other part of the verse says this, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The NIV translates it this way, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. And then I like how the Message translation, Eugene Peterson, he paraphrases it this way, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. When they attend to what God reveals, they are most blessed. Attending to what God reveals. You see, a godly vision will lead us to honor God's word and heed his instructions, not to cast off restraint and do what we want. A godly vision for ministry is not just about being relevant, having a catchy phrase, or doing something unique and different. It must be about doing and obeying the revealed will of God. It must be about doing and obeying the revealed will of God. Attending to what God reveals. You know, when our vision team met together, and here's a picture of our vision team. Actually, I'm missing a person. Let me put that person on. There you go. Okay, Tom Burt wasn't there for the picture, but he's there with us. It's a floating head. It's kind of freaky, isn't it? Anyways, the 13 of us, we met together for about 6 months. We're people from various congregations, people from the English, Cantonese, and Mandarin. And there are people as young as Andrea Tai, and there's people as old as I won't mention. People who are retired. But let me just first say, actually, I'm very thankful. I feel very thankful that our elders board and our senior pastor decided to put together a vision team. I mean, it could have been done another way. Other churches may have done it such that, you know, you send the senior pastor away for 40 days and 40 nights on a mountaintop, and they come back with the vision of God here. Or another church may send an elders board away for a retreat for a weekend, and they talk about the vision of the church. And they come back, and they tell the whole church and the pastoral team, here it is, carry out the vision. But I'm very glad, I'm very honored that the board decided to put together a vision team to allow us as different members of the congregation, and we had input and we solicited comments from you guys as well as to what we feel the vision of the church should be. So when our vision team was given the mandate to seek God's vision for us, his leading for us as a church going forward, we sought to hear God's heart. Not just our own desires for what we think our church should be. Because if we were to express our own desires, there'd probably be multiple visions. There may be 13 visions or 30 visions or even 300 visions. And so we turn to Scripture. We turn to Scripture to see what God's heart for his church is. We came across many verses describing the church. But I want to share with you just a few passages that gave us insight, that gave us vision, that gave us revelation, that gave us divine guidance into the revealed will of God. But before I do that, let's look at what vision is. What is vision, anyways? Vision describes where we are going. It describes where we are going. George Barna, in his book, The Power of Vision, said this. He said, vision is foresight with insight based on hindsight. It's seeing the invisible and making it visible, following an informed bridge from the present to the future. It describes a preferred future. Not just what we prefer as a church, but the Lord's vision of a preferred future. A future that God has in store for us as a church. According to Barner's definition, he says this, vision for ministry is a clear mental image of a preferable future imparted by God to his chosen people, and is based upon an accurate understanding of God, self, and circumstances. When our vision team were trying to figure out and understand our circumstances, we did many things. You know, Elder Nicholas led us to do many researches, and we surveyed many things. You know, the type of people that live in this area, the age group, the language they speak. We did a lot of background work, and we pooled all this information together, and we prayed about it. Not only did we do that, we looked into Scripture, and we prayed about it. And so over 6 months, we were just thinking about all the information, the circumstances, the things that were gathered in order for us to allow God to speak to us. Let me focus in on a few key words here. A clear mental image. Vision is a picture in your mind's eye of the way that things could be in the days ahead. Of the way that things could be in the days ahead. It doesn't mean that we're doing it now. It doesn't mean we've arrived. But it's of the way that things could be in the days ahead. Preferable. Vision involves change. Vision is never about maintaining the status quo. It's about reaching for something that goes beyond the present existing state. It goes beyond that. Future. Vision focuses on thinking ahead rather than dwelling upon or seeking to replicate the past. Focusing on thinking ahead, not replicating the past. Imparted by God. Vision for ministry comes from God and God alone. Vision for ministry comes from God alone. So when we were praying, when we were asking God to reveal himself, to reveal his will, his insight, his vision, his divine guidance to us as a vision team, for where we are to go as a church, these verses came to mind, and it resonated with us. These verses resonated with us. First, a prophecy from the Lord God himself to Isaiah, in Isaiah 56, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. You see, earlier in the same chapter, Isaiah 56, in verse 3, says this, let no foreigner who's bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I'm only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I'll give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. See, salvation? Salvation is offered not only to the Jews, but also to all people who call on the Lord. Whoever cries out to him, God will not turn away. Our God will not turn away. So a question I have for us as a church is this. So are there things in our church that exclude others from outside the church? Are there things within our church that excludes others from outside the church? And from those and that exclude others also from outside our culture? Are there things within our church that exclude others from outside our culture? In order to be a part of God's kingdom, in order to be a part of God's church here at Fraserlands, The Lord says, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. May we be a church with no boundaries, with no walls that divide and exclude foreigners, people of a different culture, of a different race, language, nationality, outlook in life. May all who seek after the Lord find this place, Fraserlands Church, to be a sanctuary of God's peace, a sanctuary of God's blessing, and a sanctuary of God's love. At this time, I'd like to ask Manu if you can come forward, please. Please come up. Manu? Okay. So this is Manu. Hi, Manu. Go ahead. You can stand by the mic. Manu, come closer to the mic. Come closer.
Okay. I'm Manu. I came from Iran.
Okay, so Manu is from Iran. I was going to ask her a few questions. Manu, lost my place here. Sorry about that. How long have you been coming to our church for?
Since 2008.
2008. Okay, thank you. And what brought you to our church initially? Was there a particular event that you went to?
Yeah. Yes, first time in Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve service, the evening in December, yes?
Community days.
Okay, and community day was another time that you came. So evening December and community day. Okay, great. And who were some of the people that you met at that time when you came to those two events?
First time, Ellie.
Ellie?
Brought me here.
Yes, yes.
After I meet Dad and you.
Okay. And others as well. Others as well. Okay, great. All right, great. So how have you felt being a part of our church ever since then?
Yeah, I feel this full, yeah?
Yes. Question. Yes.
First.
Yeah, how have you felt being part of our church ever since then?
I'm very
comfortable.
Comfortable? Very comfortable.
Okay, okay.
Because of people, they are very nice to me.
Okay, all right. And then do you feel a sense of belonging here in our church?
Yes, now I'm very good.
So after about eight years or so?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Before no.
Yeah.
It's very hard to me.
Yes.
First time in English. No connection to people. I'm just angry with me.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah. And I know you've been part of a couple of small groups.
But now we get better.
Yeah. You've been part of a couple of small groups. I think you've been part of Wendy and Lila's small group.
Yeah. I had small group with Pauline.
Pauline, yeah.
And Wendy.
Wendy, yes.
Yeah, I think
Okay, great.
Maybe one year.
Okay, for about a year or so. Yeah, yeah. So the last question I want to ask you is, what would you like to say to encourage us to be more open to other people of different cultures, of different backgrounds, of different nationalities, of different languages? What would you like to say to encourage us to be more open?
Yeah, I just say, according to Holy Bible,
yes,
to be loved, treating is very important in church.
Yeah, to love and to treat others, people. Yes.
It's faith.
Faith, hope.
Hope and love.
Love, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
Very simple, right? Very simple. Just treat others with faith, hope, and love. Yeah.
It helped me in many ways. Mm.
Great. Thank you so much. Manu is part of a small group of ladies who volunteers and helps out every week, you know, inserting your bulletins and helping Shirley with other administrative duties around the church. So thank you, Manu. Give her a hand.
Thank you, and Dave and other people helped me in many ways.
Okay, good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Manu. Appreciate you. Bye-bye. First, a prophecy from the Lord God. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. And secondly, a commission from the Lord Jesus Christ himself to his followers. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In his great commission, Jesus calls people of all nations to be his disciples. Jesus himself committed his earthly ministry to making disciples within Israel, but he commissions his disciples to make disciples of all nations, of all people. We're not just to reach Chinese people or Asians in our city, in our country, in other countries. No, when we do missions trip, yes, we should reach other Chinese people, but we need to go beyond that when we do missions trips. When we go to other parts of the world, we need to reach other peoples, other cultures, other nations as well. People of every nation are to receive the opportunity to become Jesus' disciples. So first, a prophecy from the Lord God to Isaiah, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Second, a commission from the Lord Jesus Christ himself to his followers, go and make disciples of all nations. And third, a vision of the future from the Holy Spirit to the Apostle John in Revelation 7:9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. This is a glorious vision from the Spirit of the living God to John, of the new Israel, the church, the multi-ethnic, multinational, multilingual followers of Jesus Christ, all standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God, worshiping him in splendor and majesty, wearing white robes and holding palm branches. What a sight that will be one day. I cannot wait to be in that midst of the multitude. But we can have a glimpse. We can have a glimpse of that here on earth, even now. And then in addition, a teaching from the Apostle Paul to all believers in Galatians. He says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there a male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In essence, Paul says that God accepts all people on the basis of faith in Christ. In Christ, there are no racial, social, or sexual prejudices, because we are all one. When Jesus came and people believed in him, all became one. Cultural divisions are to have no part in the church. Social classes should not have any bearing on what we do or who we minister to. Sexual prejudices are also abolished in Christ. So no matter who you are, if you believe in Jesus, we are all children of God, and we all inherit God's blessings and promises. And so as a result of these revealed will of God through Scripture, given by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and also through the Apostle Paul, I believe, we believe, that our church, Fraserlands, should reflect the culture, the people, the nations that live in this area. We are a country of all nations. Canada is a country of all nations. Vancouver is a city of all nations. Champlain Heights, Killarney, Burnaby, East Vancouver, South Vancouver, North Vancouver, West Vancouver, maybe except Richmond, but Fraserlands are communities of all nations. All we have to do is look around us. When we go to the grocery store, when we go to the mall, when we go to restaurants, when we go to the drugstore, library, community centers, university, colleges, workplaces, we are a country of all nations. We are a city of all nations. We are communities of all nations. And so, our church, brothers and sisters, need to be a church of all nations. If you want any proof of that, you know, just look at those who attended our community day last year. These are our neighbors. These are our friends. These are our family members. These are our co-workers. These are those who live in this area. These are those who walk by this area. And these are those who drive by this area every week. These are those who bring their children to Awana. These are those who bring their children to kids camp, to teens camp. You know, these are those who wonder when they walk by our church, do they belong? Could this be what our church would become one day? Fraserlands Church. And so our vision as a church, as shown through the revealed will of God, is for us to be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. To be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. Those who helped me out earlier, can I have you back up here, please? Can you get back onto your mats or your tarps, please? First thing I want to say to you, good try the first time. Good try. I'm going to change the rule just slightly the second time. Just change the rules slightly. Same thing applies. You cannot have your foot touch the carpet, must remain on the tarp. You cannot use any apparatus or anything else around you to help you. Got the white team from the Cantonese congregation. We've got the black team from the English congregation. We have the red team from the Mandarin congregation. The only thing I want to change this time around is you don't have to stay as white team, black team, and red team. You don't have to stay as the white team, black team, and red team. You can work amongst yourselves. Okay? You can work amongst yourselves. Do the same thing. Flip the tarp over without getting off the onto the carpet and stand on the mat at the very end. The only rule is you can work amongst yourselves. I'll give you 2-3 minutes to do that. Great. That was great. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you for volunteering. What do you get? I'll talk to you about that later, Steve. I was going to bring some macadamia nuts. Maybe I still will. To be a church of all nations starts with us being a church of the nations that we already have among us. To be a church of all nations starts with us being a church of the nations that we already have among us. That is where we have to start. How do we love the people? How do we love the cultures and the languages that are already among us? How do we serve each other? How do we work together? How do we grow together and consider others better than ourselves? It's about unity in Christ. We are all one in Christ, Paul says. Jesus said, by this, everyone will know we are his disciples if we love one another. It is indeed when we are in love with God and we're in love with one another and unified that people will see Christ in us. That the world will know we are Christians by our love. There's absolutely nothing more powerful, more visible, more Christ-like, more God-honoring . You see, love transcends all language. Love transcends all cultural and ethnic and racial and social and sexual barriers. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. To be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. Obviously, I just went through the first part of this vision statement. I just went through to be a church of all nations today. Next week, I'll go through the second part of our vision statement, what it means to be transformed through faith and love in Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, we come before you in humility. We come before you with the knowledge that you are God and we are not. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your revealed will through Scripture to us as a church here at Fraserlands. For what you have called us to be, maybe not right now, but one day. That one day, oh Lord Jesus, maybe 10, 15 years down the road, our church would have moved a little bit closer to what it means to be a church of all nations. Lord God, may that please your heart. May we attend to what you have revealed to us. And so, Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves to you. I want to commit our Mandarin congregation to you. Father, be with them, I pray. Bless them, I pray. May they know that although they are small in number, that they are not forgotten, that they're part of this community of faith here at Fraserlands. And may we, as other congregations, do what we can to support them, to help them, to pray for them, to grow together with them, to work together with them for your kingdom glory. Lord God, I pray for the Cantonese congregation. I thank you for the diligent and faithful brothers and sisters who served there, who've been part of that congregation all these years. Bless them, we pray. Bless them with new growth. Bless them with new people. Bless them with younger people, I pray. Allow them, Lord Jesus, to be able to reach the unreached Cantonese-speaking people of our city. May they also see the benefit, Lord Jesus, and their ability to reach others outside their comfort zone and their language group as well. And Father, I pray for our English congregation. Lord, the potential is there for us to grow beyond being what and who we are today. May we be able to see in our mind's eye, oh God, a clear picture of what you desire this church, this congregation to be like. Lord God, give us a love for those that we have not yet felt a love for. Those in our workplaces, at school, in our classrooms, our neighbors. Though they may be different than us, increase our love for them, I pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a holy God and that you are worthy of our worship today. May we, as a church, may we, as a church globally, Lord God, recognize and see the realization of what will take place in heaven one day, when the multitudes will come and be present to honor and glorify the Lamb of glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.